Canto 4, chapter 4, text 20. Karma praritam cha nidiv. Karma praritam cha nivrittam apritam.
Karma praritam cha nivrittam apritam.
Vede vivicho bhayalingam asritam. Viroditad yoga padaika kartari. Vayam tata brahmani karma narchati. Karma. Activities. Pravritam.
Attached to material enjoyment.
Cha. And.
Nivritam.
Materially detached.
Api.
Certainly.
Ritam.
True.
Vede.
In the Vedas.
Vivicca.
Distinguished.
Ubayalingam.
Symptoms of both.
Asritam.
Directed.
Virodi.
Contradictory.
Tat.
That.
Yogapada
eka kartari.
Both activities in one person.
Dvayam.
Two.
Tata.
So.
Brahmani.
In one who is transcendentally situated.
Karma.
Activities.
Na richati.
Are neglected.
Translation. In the Vedas, there are directions for two kinds of activities. Activities for those who are attached to material enjoyment and activities for those who are materially detached. In consideration of these two kinds of activities, there are two kinds of people who have different symptoms. If one wants to see two kinds of activities in one person, that is contradictory. But both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendentally situated. Translation, please repeat. In the Vedas,
there
are directions for two kinds of activities.
Activities for those who attach to material enjoyment.
And activities for those who are materially detached.
In consideration of these two kinds of activities,
there are two kinds of people
who have different symptoms.
If one wants to see two kinds of activities in one person,
that is contradictory.
But both kinds of activities
may be neglected
by a person who is transcendentally situated.
Purport.
The Vedic activities are so designed that the conditioned soul who has come to enjoy the material world may do so under direction so that at the end he becomes detached from such material enjoyment and is eligible to enter into the transcendental position. The four different social orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa, gradually train a person to come to the platform of transcendental life. The activities and dress of a Grihastha or householder are different from those of a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. It is impossible for one person to adopt both orders. A sannyasi cannot act like a householder, nor can a householder act like a sannyasi. But above these two kinds of persons, one who engages in material activities and one who has renounced material activities, there is the person who is transcendental to both. Lord Shiva is in the transcendental position because, as stated before, he is always absorbed in the thought of Lord Vasudeva within himself. Therefore, neither the activities of the Grihastha nor those of the sannyasi in the renounced order can be applicable for him. He is in the Paramahansa stage, the highest perfectional stage of life. The transcendental position of Lord Shiva is also explained in Bhagavad Gita 2:52 and 53. It is stated there that when one fully engages in the transcendental service of the Lord by performing activities without fruitive results, one is elevated to the transcendental position. That time, he has no obligation to follow the Vedic injunctions or the different rules and regulations of the Vedas. When one is above the directions of the Vedic ritualistic injunctions for attaining different allurements and is fully absorbed in transcendental thought, which means thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, one is in the position called Buddhi Yoga or Samadhi Ecstasy. For a person who has attained this stage, neither the Vedic activities for realizing material enjoyment nor those for renunciation are applicable. So this chapter, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Text 21, Text 20, Karma Pravritim, Pravritim Cha Nivritim Cha, Pravritimaga Nivritimaga, the path of material enjoyment and the path of the detachment is explained here. And this is, of course, Sati, who is making this statement. She is very learned. It's interesting to note that actually when Daksha and his wife's name was Prasuti, was it? Prasuti. And Prajapati, Daksha Prajapati. Manasaputra, the first mental sons of Brahma, and then the second was that Daksha was in that group. And actually, Lord Brahma appointed him the chief of the Prajapati. It means those who help in the population of the world, of the universe, and so on. And they had many children, but they wandered. They went for tapasya, actually. They went for tapasya. And he was the king, put their robes, the kingly, and they went to the forest, and they did long years of the tapasya. They wanted to have the supreme goddess, the Adi Parashakti, the divine energy, to come personified as their daughter. This was the position, this is the story. And they were advised they have to go and to do the tapasya. She appeared before them, and she said, "All right, I am pleased with your tapasya, and I will agree to be to come as your daughter. But one thing, I will not bear any insult. If I am insulted or feel insulted, then I will leave you. I will give up any connection with you and go elsewhere." So this is the story. But of course, Daksha, unfortunately, due to his big position, one has to be careful. Jain Maishwara Shrutashribi, I've said many times here, I think in Melbourne, there's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other shastras, one has to be careful for this Janma, big position, big family of Lord Brahma, and Janma Aishwara, king. And also Aishwarya, a lot of wealth. These things one has to be careful. Janmaishwara Shruta, a lot of learning, high education, and Shribi means beauty, handsome, beautiful. One becomes very easily puffed up. Very easily puffed up. So he was a big position and the chief of the Prajapatis. So even though Adi Parashakti Devi, who appeared to them and said, "I will not... I will agree to be your daughter, but don't make any insult." Due to the pride and position and so on, we see how he became, he forgot all, everything, that he was committing offense to the husband of Sati, but that is like the offense directly to her. You can't separate husband and wife, wife and husband. They are a pair. And so you insult one, it must mean you insult the other one also. You can't say, "I only insulted him, I didn't insult you." You are husband and wife. If you insult the husband, the wife feels very bad. And if you insult the wife, then the husband feels very bad. But because of everything, he forgot. And Sati now the story was that originally there was already one yagya that Daksha was coming, and Lord Shiva was there, Lord Brahma was there, and all the demigods were there, but Lord Shiva stayed in his meditation, and Daksha arrived. He was the chief of the Prajapatis. Now he. Later on, when the goddess Parashakti appeared as the daughter of Daksha, he was very happy, very happy. But right from the beginning, she was attracted to Lord Shiva. She is eternally the consort of Lord Shiva. So very soon after she grew up, she was always in thought of Lord Shiva. And of course, Lord Brahma and others encouraged her in that way. And... But the father was not very happy about this position, but she left, and she went to the forest and did a lot of tapasya, worshipping Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva agreed to become her husband. So this was against the wish of the family of Daksha and his wife. They didn't want her to marry; they wanted her to marry someone more appropriate. But she was very attached because Lord Shiva is very renounced, and he lives very isolated sometimes. And so later on, so right from the beginning, when she did like that, they more or less, especially Daksha, not so much the mother, but Daksha, disowned her and didn't pay any attention to her. And then when later on he did the yagya, there was a big yagya, he went, the Lord Shiva was in meditation. He's always in the meditation. He is meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yesterday I was saying in the program last night how there's Rudra Sampradaya. He has. There's one song, Brahmo Bole Chatumuke Krishna Krishna Hari Hari Mahadeva Panchamuke Rama Rama Hari Hari. I like to sing that song. That means that Lord Brahma, with his four heads, he is always chanting Krishna Krishna Hari. And Lord Shiva, sometimes he manifests the five heads, he is always chanting Rama Rama. So when he is meditating on the Supreme Personality of God. He is not meditating, some are thinking that he is meditating on the oneness, on the Brahman. And so many are following Lord Shiva in that way. They are the impersonalists, they are the Mayavadi, and they are the oneness. We are all the one. So I always remember Prabhupada used to make strong comments about this type of philosophy. We are the one. There was one person at the Prabhupada lecture, and Prabhupada was explaining. Many times he had people who make statements that one man, he said that, Swami, we are all the one. We are all the God. We are not different. All of us have the God. We are all the one. And Prabhupada said that, I disagree, so that makes two. Now, other time, someone also said, I am the God. And Prabhupada said, have you got father? He said, yes, I have father. Then you cannot be the God, because God has no father. He is unborn. He is the father of everyone. But he has no father. If you have father, you cannot be God. Another time in Calcutta, Prabhupada, the Pandal, and one man, after a long lecture about how the supreme position of Krishna, and then in the end, one man again, Swami, I think I am the God. Then Prabhupada said, tell me one thing, do you ever suffer? He said, Swami, sometimes I'm suffering. Then you are the suffering God, and Krishna is the enjoying God. We go with the enjoying God. So the followers of Lord Shiva, they are like that. They imitate. They imitate Lord Shiva, but they are mistakenly thinking he is meditating on the Brahman. But he is not. He is meditating on the Personality of Godhead. And they are trying to... One should not imitate, actually, others. So I think Janani Vas was saying, and Brajvilas in his class, the great personalities... They can do all sorts of things. I think the example, good example, was given just like the humans on Earth. That when they want to go somewhere, they have to go via the. Sometimes they have to go through the jungles and the rocks, and they have to go traveling all the different roads. But someone, the demigods, they are flying through the space. They don't have to go through the roads and like that. They're just looking and just seeing, but they don't have to themselves. So someone in the transcendental position, he doesn't have to follow those things. But then again, one should not imitate. And one should not imitate Lord Shiva. One should not imitate great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, great gurus and acharyas, Srila Prabhupada. Following the footsteps means you follow, see what is the instruction, and you assimilate in your life, and follow with the guidance also. How to follow? Take the guidance. Take the guidance from the from the guru, how to follow, and take the guidance from the senior devotees. But don't imitate. We saw sometimes some disciples of Prabhupada, they would imitate. There was one godbrother who was a very young man at the time. And Prabhupada, of course, was elderly, and so he used to walk with the cane. So this young disciple, who was just in his 20s, all of a sudden he took the cane, and he was walking with the cane. So no need for walking with the cane. And sometimes the disciples would speak, and Prabhupada's first language is not English, so he would speak in a kind of a clipped English sometimes. And so the disciples would imitate, speak, although their first language was English, they would talk like Prabhupada. But don't imitate like that. And this is mentioned by Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, Hari Bhakti Vilas. One should not imitate how the guru is walking, how the guru is talking. One should not imitate this. But one has to find out exactly how to follow according to their position. And this under guidance. Take under guidance. So there are many who follow Lord Shiva who want to imitate. But Lord Shiva, he is the greatest devotee. He has his sampradaya, Rudra sampradaya. I was mentioning, and the bigger charges in the Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu, the Vishnu Swami was there were three personalities who took the title Vishnu Swami. There was Adi Vishnu Swami, who appeared in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, and then the other came later. But the many gurus, and then I was telling about the Kumara Sampradaya, we have the big guru Nimbakacharya, we have the Sri Sampradaya, Jamunacharya, Ramanujacharya, we have our Brahma Sampradaya. We have to follow in the footsteps under guidance. Lord Brahma, we have Madhva, we have Lord Chaitanya and all the Goswamis. So we have our Sampradayas, and they explain all things, how to understand just properly, because by ourselves we cannot understand. And here it is mentioned about the Veda. The Veda has the two different kinds of the activity. So the Veda, Srila Vyasadeva could foresee that in the future the people, he saw the Kali Yuga coming. He knew Kali Yuga. Now this Vyasadeva, of course, he is. There are many who took the title Vyasadeva. This is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Shastras. And in the past, the many come rotating and giving their instruction of the Veda. They are the great rishis of the universe, sometimes the big demigods, they take the title of the Vyasadeva. This one, he is incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna Dwapayan Vyas, very, very powerful incarnation. It is he who saw that the Kali Yuga, he will put into writing that they cannot remember anything in the Kali Yuga. So all this thing has to be written. Then he saw that still has to be divided. And then also, actually they will not be able to understand these things. And so different Puranas were there, and the different Puranas for the different types of... They're giving historical references of personalities and incidents to explain the points of the Veda. This is Purana. And it is very important. Purana is very, very important. And some Puranas, they are like, they're called the Vishnu Purana. Some are called the Brahma Purana. Some are called the Shiva. Because for the people in the mode of goodness... And the people in the mode of passion, and the people in the mode of good. Then you have the Mahapuranas, 18, and then you have Upapuranas. Some say also 18, some say maybe 100. But they are also supporting the main Puranas. But so these are giving the history, giving the philosophy. And so very important to understand how all this is meant to come about. So the Veda is meant for understanding, and also we find here that the Prabhupada explains that the Vedas are designed the conditioned soul who has come to enjoy in the world may do so under direction, and at the end become detached. So there's two ways. One, Pravritti Marg, more gradual elevation. No, they want to enjoy in the world, but don't do it unrestrictedly, because then you will get the heavy reactions. Not unrestrictedly, like there is the whole creation comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he comes directly, or he empowers those to come to give the explanation how to live in the creation. He has made it in such a way. It is for the conditioned souls who want to enjoy separately. And that is our unfortunate position. We want to do like that. But he has provided. But there are rules governing how everything goes on. So the Supreme Lord arranges that in the instruction manual. So many instruction manuals are there how to live in the world. So one has to try to understand these things. Unfortunately, these days, there's not so much idea that it is meant to be like that. They speculate, but actually there's authorized scripture how to follow these things. So those who are inclined to the material enjoyment do so with the guidance. There are those more in the mode of ignorance, mode of passion. So take the guidance from the Veda. And so these things are given. There are four different social orders: brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. So every ashram, every vana has the rules. There are rules. We are living in the world, and even if you don't want to follow Veda, still there's rules. You can't avoid the rules. So if you're driving the car, you can't just drive any way you like. You can't drive, if you come from America, you drive one side, but if you try to drive here on the same, on the right-hand side, when everyone here on the left-hand side, then there are rules. There'll be a crash, and then also the police will come. You have to stop at the traffic light. You have to obey all the, so many rules. We can't just live, the living entity, he likes to think he is free, independent. Some independence is there, but not full independence. And this is the nature of the conditioned soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the complete whole spiritual ultimate personality. He is completely independent. He is Svarat. Svarat. Svarat means independent. Probably those from India, you've heard of Svarat or Svaraj. Gandhi was very popular. He took the idea, I think, from the founder of the Arya Samaj, who was that, Dayananda Saraswati, and he had some idea of the Svaraj, and Gandhi developed Svaraj. Of course, his idea was had some good idea that the Svaraj would come mainly from the individual, and then the village, and then the township, and then going out in the concentric circles. Yeah, this was Svaraj, and then ultimately independence from the British, who were the colonial masters of that time in India. And so the Svaraj. But of course, the push was there, and they got the independence from the British, but the Gandhi's idea, soon after, more or less when the Indian government came, they more or less abandoned after some time all the ideas that Gandhi had and just followed the model of the British hierarchical government system. So even he had some idea for independence, you couldn't have independence. Total independence. And no one can have total independence in this world. We are dependent on someone, something. And we are interdependent. You know, we could go in a certain way. We're limited. Very limited. But Krishna, he is completely independent. He is not dependent on anyone else. This is the meaning of God. Coming back to my point originally, no one can say, I am God. It is a very foolish statement. I remember when I was a new devotee, I was reading Aham Savasya Prabhavam Atatavam. The statements of Krishna, where I am all the material world emanate from me, I am in the supreme position. And I was thinking that this is a big statement. Either he is God or he is a madman. He is actually God, or he's some madman. Just like the madman can come in the nighttime in the moon, full moon, he can howl at the moon. Everyone says he is a madman. But then there is the moon. The moon is shining in the and very effulgent. So there's actual moon, there's the madman howling at the moon. But Krishna, he is actually full moon. He is actually personality of Godhead. But we are part and parcel of him, but we are not completely independent, nor have we have abhigya, nor do we have the cognizance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cognizance. He's independence and cognizance. Cognizance means he is all-knowing. He knows everything. Why he knows everything? He is unlimited and he is everywhere. He is everywhere. So if someone is everywhere, he is even in the atom. If someone is everywhere, then he knows everything. I'm not everywhere. Are you everywhere? You can't be everywhere. You're here. Is it? You're there? You're here. You know what's going there? You know? I don't know. But Krishna knows, because he is here, he is there, he is everywhere. So this is one of the qualifications. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows us better than we know us. Because he has been traveling with us for time immemorial. Everybody. But we don't know. Last life, last year. Do you know? Who knows? We can't remember even in the childhood what we were saying, what we did. We can't remember these things. But Krishna knows all. So his cognizance is supreme. He is in the topmost position. So therefore the cognizance, the independence, these are some of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is very compassionate. Although we are have got some envy of Krishna originally, and therefore we want to be separate from him. We want to be like him, imitate him. This is the original. We want to imitate him separately, but separately. He is the God. I want to also separately be God. So he creates a situation. He is so intelligent. He creates a situation that is just from his energy. He enters everything, even elements, even atoms. He travels with us within the heart. He is right next to us. He is providing, even without his help, we couldn't do anything. He is right next, but still, even though he is doing everything, still we don't know how he's doing everything. We don't even know him. He is allowing us to think we are a very powerful personality, like a god, but he remains in the back. But at the same time, he tries to bring us to our original position. And here, going back to this explanation given here by Sati. Sati is saying this, that she gives very wonderful explanation that Lord Shiva cannot be considered what... Now, the second yagya, the first one, Daksha came and then Lord Shiva didn't stand. He was in the meditation. And then he became very upset. He became angry. He said very nasty things about Lord Shiva. And then he left. And then there was... others became upset that he said... Nandi said something, and then Bhrigu said something, and then there was like a... cursing and counter-cursing. Lord Shiva was very sad. He just... up and he left. And then now this is the second, isn't the second yagya that was organized, and then Sati went. Although Lord Shiva advised her, don't go, because he knew what would happen. But Sati felt she had to go. But it was almost like a predestined thing, because she went, and now she's saying, you are treating my husband, neglecting, you are ignoring me, and look how you are treating my husband. But he is not under these injunctions that normal people have to follow. And this is yas fatmarati eva syat atmantittaschamanava atmaneva cha santushtaschakanam navidya. This is one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. One who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. But there's no duty. Others have duties. But so for the human beings who are like that, they are, no duty is assigned to them. They are not obligated. Now, Lord Shiva, he is not a human being. He is in the position of the Godhead. He is a Godhead. And also Sati, she is like the goddess. She is above even, she came as agreed to come as the daughter, but she is above Daksha. Daksha just prayed. She did austerity. He forgot all those things. What is the position of his daughter? And so he's the daughter and Lord Shiva. They are far, far beyond this universe. I remember one time in Auckland, Prabhupada was giving lecture at the Gandhi Hall, and then someone said, "In our Hindu religion, we have many gods. So, what do you say about that?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, they are of this world, but Krishna, he is beyond this world. He is far beyond. So that is Krishna's position. He is far beyond." So the demigods, we offer respect, but they are the agents of the Supreme. And Krishna can do everything himself, but he allows someone to do some service. So this is the position. So one has to understand these things very nicely. But one should be respectful. One should not be fighting like in the Daksha Yajna. This is not very good. They're very famous in ISKCON. In the beginning, we used to get we didn't have so many books. We had the Back to Godhead magazine, and then we got some small book. And then Prabhupada started translating. Then we had Bhagavad Gita. Then Prabhupada started translating Bhagavatam. And we just get, there was the first canto, then we would get the second canto. We didn't have the second canto. Then we would get the second, then we would get the third, and then we would get the fourth. And we read about the Daksha Yajna. So this was quite often referred to be careful about. We don't want to argue and then fight with each other, and it becomes a Daksha Yajna. Don't make it become a Daksha Yajna. Cursing and counter-cursing, and this one has to say, this one has to say, this, and then like this. And then the whatever happened in the beginning is far less than with the fighting after. I often advise like that in the communities. We have to be very careful that something is wrong, or let us calmly deal with that thing. The problem is that sometimes the community is fighting, and that the fighting is far worse than the original problem. That is the bad thing. So we see here in the Daksha Yajna, don't allow anything to become like Daksha Yajna, cursing, counting. And then later on we see after this that Sati leaves her body. We will read how, you know, Lord Shiva sent the Virabhadra, and as a whole, so many people are killed. And so it can be disaster. One has to be very careful for the insults and the criticisms and the fighting. Prabhupada used to tell us, because we are neophyte devotees, that you, my disciples, don't fight. Don't fight amongst each other. Cooperate and be absorbed in your Krishna consciousness. So this is very, very important. So don't, we have to remember all these things, because the ignorance and passion is always pushing. Someone says something, you have to say something back. One has to learn to hold their tongue. Be tolerant. Just like Lord Shiva. Now Prabhupada comments, Lord Shiva, see the excellent qualities of Lord Shiva. So many things were going, he just remained silent, he got up, he left. See the excellent position of Lord Shiva. Of course, Sati felt she had to defend her husband. And she went, and so many others said sin. But still, one has to be very careful. So, anyway, coming back to this point, now one has to follow what is there. They're in a certain position. Someone is Grihastha, then follow the Grihastha life. There are certain ways of living like a good Grihastha. Many acharyas give explanation. Narad Muni gives in Srimad Bhagavatam, the other acharyas give how to be a nice Grihastha and how to be a nice brahmachari. There are many instructions on brahmacharya, how one should live. And take it under guidance. Don't try to understand these things by yourself, because there's also Kala Patradesh, time, place and circumstance. You know, just like it is said that in the sannyas ashram, one can't wear the sewn cloth. One can't wear the sewn cloth, nor can one even cross the water, the ocean. Nor can, so many injunctions are there for sannyas ashram. Nor can one wear the shoes. And even the cloth should be niggardly cloth. It should be like above the knee. It's just like you see, sometimes you see paintings of Lord Chaitanya. He's just wearing the one cloth above the knee. But Prabhupada told us that, you know, if I were to come, for example, and just walking around with the cloth in the streets of the Swanson Street with no shoes, probably the police would come and arrest me for vagrancy. So therefore, we have to, therefore Prabhupada told us, Kala Patradesh. And actually, I remember one walk, some devotee was walking with no shoes, and it was cold day. And Prabhupada says, I know you were in the avadut position. You were wearing no shoes. But please, we are in the Western country, in the city. We have to wear shoes. Also, you have to look for your health that if you go with no shoes. So please do these things. So therefore, there are so many injunctions. The brahmacharya, all right, go live in the forest and the sannyas. And so one has to follow their svadharma. Svadharma, there's svadharma, and then there's sanatan dharma. Svadharma means, you know, that what is the rules and regulation according to your position. According to your position. So now I am the grihastha. So therefore I have to follow. But of course we are devotees also. So therefore we are grihastha Vaishnavas. A grihastha Vaishnavas, there are many Vaishnava instructions by our great acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and the previous acharyas also. How to live, be a nice grihastha devotee. And also, someone's a brahmacharya, but we are devotee brahmacharya. We are devotee sannyasis. So we have to take the guidance how to live like that. So, generally speaking, the devotees in the Krishna consciousness, we follow the nivritti marga, path of detachment. Path of detachment. We don't indulge in so many activities that the materialists. And there are others who follow the pravritti marga, elevation to the higher planetary systems, doing all the different ceremonies, all the different procedures, how to elevate slowly. So one can elevate slowly, indulging a little bit under restriction. Just like if you're sick, you go to the doctor, you know, he gives prescription, all right, you have to take this medicine, and then your diet has to be like that. And the person says, but I like to eat this thing and this thing. And the doctor just considers, but maybe he shouldn't eat anything like that at all. But all right, if you want to eat that, just once a week. Once a week you can eat that thing. And then and no more. So the pravritti marga is like that. They're following, actually, best is detachment. Best is detachment. They're following... but all right, just regulate that thing, regulate it, and then gradually you can give it up, slowly, slowly, slowly. And then the path of detachment is more detached from those things, less of those things. But still, it is following injunctions. So nivritti mark. So sannyas ashram, svadham, and vanaprast brahmacharya, they're a little more detached, but still the injunctions are there. And grihastha is a little bit more facility. One can't try to do, you know, here Sati makes the point. If one follows their particular svadharma, don't try to follow another or try to mix together, someone else's svadharma into your svadharma. That's not. Just follow your one and the other one will follow their one. It is contradicted to try to mix it. The sannyas with the grihastha with the sannyas. Just follow. And if you follow very nicely under guidance, and then gradually you'll be elevated. But ultimately, great personalities, as mentioned here, yaspatmarati evasya, that they don't have to follow any injunctions. Lord Shiva is above all this. But then again, in Rupa Goswami, he says in the Nectar Devotion, when the great personalities come to the world, they show, they don't have to follow, but they follow to give the example. Of course, Lord Shiva is another position altogether. He doesn't, whether he follows or doesn't follow, but he's like avadut position. But, great gurus and acharyas, they don't have to follow. They are already liberated paramahansas. But just to show the example, if they didn't follow, then people would see and they would just take that to be the general principle and they would follow. They would also not follow, but they are not on that platform. So here, Prabhupada says, when one is above the directions of the Vedic ritualistic injunction and fully absorbed in transcendental thought, which means thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is in the position called Buddhi Yoga or Samadhi. Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Someone asked me the other day in Brisbane, Sunday talk, that what is the karma and the karma yoga and the bhakti yoga, what is the difference between? I said the karma, as mentioned here, karma means activities, just activities in general and reactions to activities. This is a karma. But when your activities, the objective is spiritual, then that's the karma yoga. Your activities are spiritual objective. That's karma yoga. And then when your love becomes very strong and deep, you have your bhava, prema, then that becomes the bhakti yoga. So karma yoga become on the higher level becomes the bhakti yoga. So Prabhupada always emphasized on the bhakti yoga. That is a very high position, bhakti yoga. Normally people are in the karma, and very few are doing the karma yoga. But when your love becomes very strong, we see the love for Radha to Krishna, Krishna to, that is a high prem, Radha Bhava, that is very high. That is what Lord Chaitanya very compassionately is giving to us. We're so fortunate. Lord Chaitanya, we're in the lowest position in the Kali Yuga, but he is giving the highest thing, the Radha Bhava, and sometimes he manifests Manjari Bhava, the highest position. So this is the bhakti. Prabhupada always emphasizes bhakti yoga. That is topmost. I remember here in the temple, Prabhupada was giving, at the end someone said, Divine Grace, he said, very respectfully, he said, I've read in the Bhagavad Gita that the Raja Yoga, that is the king. Raja Vijaya Raja Guyam. And Prabhupada says, yes, that is the king, but Bhakti is the emperor. He said, king is always subordinate to emperor. That is the topmost. Yes, Raja and so many yogas are described, Bhagavad Gita. But then when one culminates and develops the divine love, we are the divine love, then that becomes the bhakti yoga. So that is the goal. One shouldn't lose sight of what is the goal of the activities. You know, one can follow all the rules and regulations too closely. Nisidachara. Following, not following at all, or following just too fanatic. We used to, when I was new devotee, we had one new bhakta. He was like fanatic. You paid your bet. Babu, you didn't pay properly with both hands. I didn't see flat on the other hand. I only saw a little bit right. You have to put flat, and your head is not fully. There's a fanatic always beating on the head of everyone. Don't become fanatics in any religion or anything is bad, not good. So don't become too obsessed. What is the goal of you? You have to think of Krishna, and he was always attacking or hitting on the head of every devotee. They didn't do something right. They did something wrong, and after 6 months, where he went? He's gone. What happened to such and such bhakta? He left. He became so fanatic, upset. He just ran out the outside. But then he forgot the Krishna also. So what is the use of all the fanatic? That was just mode of passion coming. And then lording it over the other one. In the name of the sadhana. In the name of. So in the name of the religion, so many horrible things are going on, isn't it? We see in the world today. In the name of the religion. So many terrorist activities. They are fanatic. Whether actually it is in the religion or what it is. But where is the love? Where are you showing the love? That is the supreme objective. And that love, and God is love. Krishna is love. He is the personification of prema. So that is our goal. So therefore, following. But always keep the goal in front. And Lord Shiva, he is like on the level of the goal. He is expansion from Lord Vishnu. He is in the Vishnu Tattva. He is the supreme Godhead. He is like the Godhead himself. So therefore, we see what pride does. With Daksha had so much pride. He was absorbed in his position and what is the rules and the regulations. He's married my daughter. He must be subordinate. But even his daughter and his son-in-law were far, far beyond his position. But he was blinded by power and wealth and all these things, position and influence and so on. And therefore, when one is blinded like that, then one becomes envious, and then when one becomes envious, one has got to commit offences and insult others. So this is not, one has to be very careful of the pride. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'll read this again. In the Vedas, there are directions for two kinds of activities. Activities for those who are attached to material enjoyment, activities for those who are materially detached. Consideration of these two kinds of activities, there are two kinds of people who have different symptoms. If one wants to see two kinds of activities in one person, that is contradictory, but both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendentally situated. Any questions or comments? Yes, we're speaking in the loud voice.
In the purport, I was mentioning that the Paramahamsa is above the Praviti and the Riti.
He's above?
Both the Praviti line and the Riti line.
Yes.
Can there be an among the Riti?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Can there be an impersonalist as well?
Can he be? Yes, just like, you know, they are above the injunction. Just like initially you had the Kumara, who were impersonalists. They are just meditating on an aspect of the Supreme, the Brahman. So therefore, Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahuvi Muktes, the great Mahatmas can be those who are just Brahmandis. And they are actually also, but they are not fully matured in their spiritual position as yet. This is the explanation given by so many Shastras and so many Acharyas. They have idea of one aspect, and Prabhupada gives the example of the train. Sometimes he used to give the example of the train. The people who had never seen the train, and the train was coming to their village, they built that, and it was coming to their station. So then they saw the light coming, and the train. And then some excitedly, they ran away. Oh, I saw the train, I saw the train, there's a light. And then the train came, and then they saw others waited. And then they saw the train, so many carriages, the train, a big thing with carriages. And then others saw, oh, they're also inside this people. So those who waited and saw the whole thing, they saw the train has a light, has carriages, has people inside. That is the fool. The Prabhupada used to use that example. So those who are Brahmandis, yes, they may be above the injunction. They are fully meditating. Of course, the Kumaras later, when they had darshan of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, they immediately became so overwhelmed that they immediately got by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. They understood the full position of the personality of Godhead. So yes, but they are above the actions and reactions of the material world. They are in the spiritual position. So this is mentioned, that the Mahatmas can be of two types, those who are elevated Brahmandis and those who are the devotees of the Lord. And both are, if they're fully absorbed, then they're both above the injunctions of the Vedas.
Maharaj, is Sankhya Yoga and Buddhi Yoga subsets of Bhakti Yoga? Is it a continuum?
It is. Is it?
Is it a subset or like a continuum?
Well, buddhi means intelligence, so Sankhya is study, just like I was telling the story of Nimbakacharya, that originally the Kumaras went to Lord Brahma to ask about the detachment from the world on the sensual and the mental intellectual. So Lord Brahma, he thought better the Supreme Personality of God and answer these questions. He meditated and Lord Hansa came. Lord Hansa, you can read this story in the 11th chapter or 11th canto of Bhagavatam. That, and he gave instruction to the Kumara. He started with Sankhya. Study what is matter, what are the elements, what is spirit. And then from there, he went to the Astanga Yoga and then the Buddhi Yoga, means developing the intelligence with the objective of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, yes, in one sense, you could say it's like subset the Sankhya. But that if one goes through the different levels of the yoga and then fully understanding and by the mercy of a great acharya, by the mercy of the personality of God, then one comes with the bhakti.
So the aim, because there's jnana yoga, which is just gathering knowledge, but for Sankhya Yoga and Buddhi Yoga, the ultimate goal is love of God.
Should be. Should be like that. But some stop there. Understand? Some just stop there. And so they are in their position there. And they are... but we, the goal of the yoga, yoginam visavisham, it is mentioned that one should go more high. More high. Yes, please.
Can I ask about the...
speaking in a loud voice.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Like, you've been mentioning about four sampradayas even yesterday. I wonder... I have a question regarding Rudra Sampradaya.
In the which Sampradaya?
Rudra Sampradaya. Mm. Adi Shankaracharya, as you told, you know, at the beginning of the Kali Yuga also, he was there, and then there were a few more Shankaracharyas. And also, we know that Shankaracharya gave this Govinda Madhikosham, Tamaham Bhajami. That's coming from Rudra Sampradaya? Or do they worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or
who?
Rudra Sampradaya.
Rudra Sampradaya?
Yeah.
Well, Rudra Sampradaya, they're not so much Krishna, they're Vishnu, and sometimes Nrisingadev. Nrisingadev Rudra Sampradaya. He's worshipping Lord more Vishnu, and just like in Sri Sampradaya, they're worshipping more Lakshmi Narayan. All expansions of Krishna, but we, of course we know Ishvara Parama Krishna. Lord Brahma explains that actually the fountainhead is Krishna of all the incarnations. So the different sampradayas put emphasis on the Sri Sampradaya, worship of Lakshmi Narayan, and Rudra Sampradaya is more worship of Vishnu, and sometimes Lord Nrisingadeva, incarnation of Vishnu. And so they are putting the emphasis. But in our sampradaya, especially Radha Krishna, Kumara Sampradaya is also... in the Kumaras of Vishnu, and then from Nimbakacharya though it started because Radha and Krishna appeared to him, and so he is more advocating more Radha Krishna worship, and sometimes little Gopal Krishna worship. So different sampradaya they're emphasizing different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in our sampradaya of course is Radha Krishna worship. And especially what is the mood of Radharani for Krishna. This is position of Lord Chaitanya, especially from Lord Chaitanya, this Radha Bhav is very much, even from Nimbaka, was Radha Krishna more in with respect, but Lord Chaitanya gave another aspect of the Radha Bhav. The intensity is more on the Radharani side in our sampradaya. Yes, so Rudra Sampradaya means, yes, Vishnu worship. Now, those who are, as I said, there are others who are following Lord Shiva, they are worshipping on the Brahman and becoming one with the Brahman. So, but that's not like the Rudra Sampradaya. They are just separately worshipping Shiva to get the realization of Brahman. So they are also followers of Lord Shiva, but wrongly, actually. Although they are thinking, because of the Shankaracharya and all the... they are promoting this impersonalism, and I think Jananivas was explaining a little bit yesterday why Lord Shiva had to come as the Shankaracharya because of the Buddhist influence. So he had a purpose to fulfill, but so since that Shankaracharya, then more have gone over to that side of the impersonal. But Rudra Sampradaya is an old Sampradaya that was before Shankaracharya, and they are Vaishnavas, actually. They are Vaishnavas. I think we have to finish there. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Balabha Bhagwan ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Guru.